Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning again as we come together to fellowship around the Word of God. As it is written, the entrance of your Word brings light and gives us understanding. So let it be even now, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray that everyone will be able to engage this lesson in the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let's get right to it. Glory to God. So what is the Spirit of God saying to the churches? The revelation of Jesus Christ has given to John on the Isle of Patmos, which he sent and signified it by the hand of his angel to his servant John. And he commanded him to write the things which he has seen, the things which were at the time, the things which were yet to be, and to send them to seven churches that were in Asia Minor at the time. And Jesus gave commandment, and each one of those was written to the churches. But he also said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So we understand by that each church should read the message written to the other churches as well. And every one of us now, we have the benefit of reading all those messages together. And blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy of this book, and keep those things that are written therein, because the time is at hand. And the mystery of the seven golden candlesticks and the seven stars which John saw. But when he turned to see the voice that was speaking to him, he saw the Son of Man in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks. And Jesus said, well, the mystery of those seven golden candlesticks and the stars which you saw in my hand, he said, the seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches. And the seven stars are the angels to those seven churches. And so messages went out to each of those churches, signed and signified by the Lord Jesus Christ to the angel, you might call the messenger, to that church. All right. So today we are dealing with the message as written and given to the church in Thyatira. So that's the one that we are talking about today. And we are going to pick up the lesson from Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. And again, always there is a salutation from the Lord, an introduction of himself, some attribute of himself, and then a review. You might call it performance review, starting with, I know your works. And sometimes there is a commendation of all the good things they're doing. And sometimes there is a rebuke, and sometimes both. And then an exhortation in the case of a rebuke, what they need to fix. And also, you know, a promise afterwards, if they're able to overcome. And then a message to everyone, he that has an ear, let him hear the Spirit, what the Spirit is saying to the churches. That's always the pattern, you know. So we're picking it up here in verse 18 of Revelation chapter 2. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. Well, there's a reason why Jesus always calls out various attributes of himself when he talks to each of these churches. In this case, you know, he means business. Really means business. I know thy works and thy charity and thy service and faith and patience and thy works. So he mentioned works twice. Now let's look at all the things that Jesus says, I know. And he always knows. I know thy works. I know thy charity. I know thy service. I know your faith. I know your patience and thy works. I'm like, these people, they got a lot of good stuff going for them, you know. And even the last to be more than the first. Your last works, now where you are, you know, some people were rebuked of having lost their first love. Not these folks, you know, these ones, their current works were even more than their first. You know, Jesus said, look, to Ephesus, say, repent and do the first works. Well, these ones, their last works, at the time they were being written to, were more than even their first. You know, so, I mean, they had a good thing going for them. You know, Jesus gave a lot of commendation, you know, and they had faith, you know, be working for the Lord in the service. They have love among the brethren. I mean, they have patience, you know, they're able to endure. I mean, walks, you know, their walks, they didn't slack off. You know, they had everything going. Notwithstanding, he said, I have a few things against thee. Well, unfortunately, you know, Jesus found some things that were not perfect. And he said, look, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, and I'm not talking about that today, that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Your suffering means you allow. You allow that Jezebel spirit among you, you know, even though she called herself a prophetess, her teachings are contrary to the word of God, seducing the servants, seducing the people, causing them to commit fornication as a spirit that's out there, you know, and eating things sacrificed to idols and so forth. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, but she repented not. Behold! You know, and this is where, that's why Jesus said at the beginning, you know, whose eyes are like a flame of fire. Because he's going to say some things here which people think the Lord cannot say or doesn't say. But he's going to say it here right now. You know, he said, I will cast her into a bed. Then I commit adultery with her into great fume. She likes to be in a bed. Okay, fine. I'm going to put her there. You know, I'm going to put all, you know, the how whoredom and everything with her into the bed of affliction and a great tribulation. Except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. You say, well, you know, the Lord is a God of love. It's a God of grace. It's a God full of compassion, you know, slow to anger, tender mercies, and so on. You know, God can't do these things like, you know, kill people and so on. You know, Hannah prayed and said, the Lord killeth and he maketh alive. He lifted up and he casteth down. He doeth all these things. No one can stay his hand. He can do it too. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29 says, our God is a consuming fire. So don't you ever forget it. And for the most part, of course, you know, he always puts forth, if you want, I want to say put forth his best foot, always put forth his best attribute, which is his mercy and his grace. When Moses was crying to the Lord that, Lord, show me more than I've known. I want to see more. I want to see your glory, Lord. I want more of you. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses prayed that prayer. And the Lord told him, like, look, I'm going to show you something. You know, you'll see something. Perhaps not my face at this time, but you'll see something. You know, and I'll pass by you and I will declare unto you the name of the Lord. And what do we see when the Lord actually passed by him? You know, we see that in Exodus 34, you know, because, you know, he said, look, I want to see your glory and all these things. Well, but when the Lord passed by him, the Lord told him, go to a certain place and I'll pass by you there. I'll show you something. I'll cover, you know, my face. You see my backside and so forth. But I'm going to show you something. And so the Lord descended in the cloud, Exodus 34 and verse 5, and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, this is the Lord proclaiming his own name. This is not Moses saying anything about God. You know, many times we say things about God. We call him Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah, you know, Shammah, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sikeno, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. You know, we call him all these things. People call the Lord these things because of how he's manifested his grace, his mercy to them, his power in certain situations. So they call him something. But this is what God says about himself. Now, take note. This is what God says about himself. So the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. That's the Lord saying about himself. Now, what did the Lord have to say about himself? You know, here's what he said. When the Lord passed before him, the Lord proclaimed. Now, this is the Lord proclaiming his own name. This is what God had to say about himself. And the Lord said, the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord God. You know, well, that's his name. That was the name he revealed himself at that time. You know, and then he said, you know, and look at the attributes of himself that he would proclaim. You know, the first attribute out of his mouth about himself is merciful. Hallelujah. Merciful and gracious. Long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands. I mean, the Lord can't say enough about his own mercy. Forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. You know, that was the first part. That's the, you know, grace of God. That's the goodness of God. And he put that first. Put that first out there. Now, but he's also going to tell you of his severity. Now, if you do not, you know, accept his grace and his mercy and his goodness, you know, and align yourself that way, you're going to have to deal with his severity. Now, after he had declared first his mercy, first his graciousness, his long-suffering, his abundance in goodness and truth, he's keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, all of that, then he drops down and says, and will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, third and fourth generation. Now, if you think the Lord, you know, some people say, well, the Lord said, you know, the children, you know, the fathers will no longer eat sour grapes and the children's teeth set on edge. Well, that's true. Every soul will bear his own iniquity or righteousness before me, saith the Lord. The proverb that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are now set on edge is gone. Nevertheless, you know, the severity of the Lord is still there. So people say, well, God can't say those things. Jesus is humble, meek, as a lamb. And all. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, you better don't come up against the Lion of Judah. He'll chew you up. You know, so, you know, he's a consuming fire. And he told them right here, I will cast her into a bed of affliction. And all the people that commit fornication, all of them into tribulation, I will kill her children with death. He said, well, yeah, you know, so I want to call this out and let people know that, you know, God can bring judgment against his church, and he will too. Now, this, you know, he wasn't talking to unbelievers here, right to the church that is in Thyatira. These things, you know, that's inside the church. You have this thing going on, and I'm going to bring judgment against it. So, you know, this is serious, serious stuff. Well, I'm reminded of Ezekiel chapter 9. I'm going to come to Jezebel in a minute. But in Ezekiel chapter 9, the vision of the man with the ink horn rider. And the ones that had the swords to slay. And when Ezekiel was looking at that vision, here is what he saw. He said, some men, six men came from the way of the higher gate. Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 2. You know, one among them was clothed with linen, and he had a writer's ink horn by his side. And then he went in and stood by the altar. And the glory of the God of Israel come out from under the cherub and everything, from before the cherub and everything whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man with the linen, who had the writer's ink horn. And he said unto him, go through the midst of the city. The Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. You know, so Lord said, set them apart. Put a mark on those that are grieved, that are sighing, that are crying out against the abominations. You know, do it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is looking. I know thy works. I know those of you who are grieved by the abominations that are in the land today. The handwriting again, indeed, is upon the wall. But the Lord is looking. There are some people who are not grieved. You know, there are people who have aligned. You know, everything's okay. Whatever going on around them, they don't really care. We live in appetite. You know, we don't care about anything. We're not grieved. We're not moved by all the evil that is in the land. How people throw things in God's face. We're not moved by it anymore. But the Lord said, those who are moved, those who are crying and sighing for all the abominations that are done in the land, put a mark. That's a separating mark on their head. Remember, the Lord told Moses, tell the children of Israel, and they put, slay that lamb, a lamb for an house, put the mark on the doorposts. I'm looking for that mark. When I send the angel of destruction through the land, when he sees the blood upon any doorpost, he'll pass that house over. But anyone that doesn't have that mark, destruction is coming into that house. So the Lord says to this man also, set a mark on the heads of these people that are sighing and crying for the abomination. And then the others that had the slaughter weapon in their hands, he said to the others, go ye after him. But wait until this man has set the mark first. And then after he's done separating and marking out the ones that will be clean escaped, then go in after him and destroy utterly. Let not your eye spare anything, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young. Now, this is serious stuff. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 6. Slay utterly old and young, maids and little children, women and everything. But come not near anyone upon whom is the mark. And when you start this destruction, start at my sanctuary. Now, so those that think, oh, that the Lord is, loving God, he'll never do such things. Well, think again. You know, he's a consuming fire. Begin at my sanctuary. Start cleaning house right from my own sanctuary. The Lord said, I'm going to desecrate the place. You know, the Lord said, look, go and see, you know, what I did with my house that was at Shiloh. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 7, he said, those of you, you know, in fact, let's read it. Those of you that come and stand in the gates of the house of the Lord, and you are so proud, you know, of the house of the Lord, and you say, oh, the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord. Here's what the Lord said to them, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 7. Behold, you know, he said, look, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, to all ye that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. So Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 2. Thus saith the Lord God, you come in here to worship the Lord, and you better watch your ways. Amend your ways and your doings, saith the Lord. And then I will cause you to flourish and dwell in this place. Now trust not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You know, are these, you know, they, you know, people, look, you know, sometimes people, you know, just love to do things contrary to the word of God and justify themselves that they are in the house of the Lord. You know, well, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You know, God doesn't care what building you call the temple of the Lord, what physical building you call the temple of the Lord. You are the temple of the Lord. And if you go into the house of the Lord and yet your ways are not equal with the Lord, here's what he says. Amend your ways and your doings, and I'll cause you to dwell in this place. Trust not in lying words and saying, well, the temple of the Lord. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, and if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, do all of these things, burn incense to Baal, walk after other gods whom you've known none, and then come and stand before me in this house and say, you know, we are delivered to do these abominations? So this is the Lord calling out things that are mixed up, you know, in the house of worship, in the church. When people say, well, we are believers, we go to church, we are standing here, praise and worship, we shout the victory, we do all of these things, we sing in the praise team. You may even be a preacher, you may be whatever. And the Lord said, look, I have not found your works to be perfect before the Lord. Amend your ways, because you are carrying on all these other things, and yet you're standing here in the name of the Lord, you know, to do these things. And the Lord said, look, is this house, which is called by my name, now become a den of robbers in your eyes? Hey, look, I look in so-called Christian dumb today, and I see the same thing. It's become a den of robbers, merchandising the people, merchandising even the gift of God. You know, so-called seers and prophets, even on this platform that's called Clubhouse, all over the place, merchandising the gift. You want a miracle? You got to sow X number of dollars. You want a word? You got to do this. You know, it become a den of robbers. And you know, one time Jesus, he overturned their tables, took a whip, whipped them all out of that place. So you think the Lord can't get angry? You know, he took a whip. And you know, there were people that were older than him physically in that place. Jesus was only about 30 years of age, and he didn't care. The zeal of the house of the Lord was upon him. You know, he looked at those, all those crazy people in the temple. He overturned their tables. He took a whip, whipped them all out of there. And said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. And you have turned it into a den of thieves, a den of robbers, coming in here doing merchandising and so forth. And you know, some people take, even till this day, people will take things to go and sell in the house of the Lord. Beware now. You know, you separate those things. Don't go and sell anything. You know, keep those things separate. In fact, Nehemiah, he told the people, you know, don't bring anything in these gates on the, you know, Sabbath day. You don't bring anything in here. Don't bring those things and sell and make merchandise. That's on the one hand to everybody. But even the ministers who are making merchandise of the gifts of God, it's the same warning to everyone. What I say unto one, I say unto all. Now, he said, look, go ye now. He said, look, my eyes have seen it, said the Lord. Go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh. Yeah, well, even in the days of Eli and all these people, you know, the Lord destroyed the place where I put my name at the first. What do you think I did with it? Look, see what I did to it because of the wickedness of the people. And you know, at the end it was said, Ichabod, the glory has departed. The Lord said, look, I destroyed that one. I'm the one that set up the place that I chose to put my name there. But when the people turned to wickedness, I destroyed it. You know, and I'm going to do the same again. You know, so look, people should not, look, don't trust in lying words. I think that the Lord, you know, the Lord is the God of holiness, the righteous God. The scepter of his throne is the scepter of righteousness. And he's not going to mess around with iniquity. especially among those that call upon the name of the Lord. If you're calling upon the name of the Lord, then amend your ways, saith the Lord. Amend your ways. And look, I destroyed that place that was in Shiloh, saith the Lord, which I put my name in at the first. Now, and you have done all this wickedness and these works, and the Lord said, look, I'm going to do the same thing. Wherefore will I do unto this house, verse 14 of Jeremiah 7, I will do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave unto you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, even as I cast out your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Now, it's a serious business. Serious business. And I have witnessed it. I have witnessed it myself. In real time. I witnessed it. I moved my family from Nigeria to come to this place in this great United States. And we went to this great place. There was a great man of God. Until today, we're still reading and studying his writings. He called them the scrolls. But people were coming into that place and they were saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. But their lives were not lining up. And God said, I'm going to destroy this place. That's right. Some of you may not like me saying that, but that was the truth. And the Lord, he destroyed that place. Because God will not have second place, not to a building, not to anything. He will not have, and people were worshiping the building more than they worship God, the Lord said, look, I'm going to make this place like Shiloh. And he did. After a while, the place was profaned, just profaned. You go by and look at the place now. This was a glorious place. The glory of the Lord was in that place. You got into that place. My goodness. But the Lord leveled the place. How did he do it? Well, put in the hand of somebody who didn't care too much about, the things that God was doing. And he just profaned the place. Well, because the Lord said, look, you come into the house of the Lord and you stand in these gates and you say, the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord, but your life is not equal. I will destroy this place. I will make it like I did to Shiloh. And it shall be said of this place, Ichabod. And that's right. And I don't even like to drive by that place anymore. Those of you who are in Arizona here, because every time I drive by there, the place has become, complete nonsense. They've turned the place that used to be a jewel in the desert. They have turned the place into something else. They put the golden calf, they built a bank. They built all kinds of things right there. They've turned the place into something else. They're not even using the place, as a place of worship anymore. They've turned the place into, into just mockery. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, God is not a respecter of any man. And God, when he says, I'm the one that has the eyes of fire. My goodness. He means business and he's not messing around. Now, this is the message to the church. Amend your ways. Because you have the spirit of Jezebel. Now, let's talk about the spirit of Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was the wife of Ahab. And the story. I don't have time to tell all the story, but in case you don't know it, this Jezebel was a wicked woman. Now, Ahab himself was wicked, by all means. But we are told that his wife spurred him on. This woman said, look, one time Ahab wanted, a man's land. And he said, the man wouldn't give it to him. And he went home sulking. He said, look, I wanted to pay good money for this land. And this man wouldn't give it to me, And the wife said, what, are you the king or not? What are you even begging him for? You are the king. Go to the place and take the thing and kill him off. This was the kind of woman she was. You know, the man by himself was already wicked, and this woman helped him on in his wickedness even more, you know. And I said, oh, the vineyard of Naboth, it's yours. You know, what are you worried about? You are the king. Get up already and be the king. Take this place and kill the man off. You know, you can do it. And, you know, when the anger of the Lord was kindled against this man and his wife, you know, who stirred him up like that, you know, here's what the Lord said about him and his wife in 1 Kings chapter 21. He says in verse 25 of 1 Kings 21, there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. And if that was not enough, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. And they did abominate. This was this Jezebel that told Elijah, I'll have your head. You know, he said, I'm going to have your head. You know, so do the gods to me and more, if by this day your head remains on your head. After Elijah dealt with the prophets of the group, you know, this woman said, you, I'm going to have your head. And Elijah ran, you know, ran. Well, but I tell you what, after he had that encounter with his still small voice, he wasn't running from nobody anymore. Glory to God. Now, but anyway, this is a Jezebel woman. She'll paint her face. She'd do anything like that. I mean, she was wicked woman. You know, and, you know, so one time the Lord gave a prophecy. He said, look, yeah, you thought you risen up and killed. Well, you slew this man and took his vineyard. Well, in the same place that you did that, your dogs shall lick the blood of Jezebel. Well, of course, you know, that's what happened to her. You know, eventually, you know, she'll cast out of a window, you know, and splashed all over the place. You know, and the dogs did lick her blood. But what was that spirit? Well, first of all, this woman was wicked within herself. Her husband was wicked, but she caused even more wickedness. She controlled her husband and told her husband what to do. I mean, are you not the king? Do more evil. Do more wickedly. Don't even let anybody tell you anything. You know, bind them with chains and fetters. So the kind of woman she was. Now, well, you know, that Jezebel spirit is in the church, was in the church at Thyatira. It's still in the church today in different places. You know, they come in, you know, and it occurs already because her name was Jezebel, right? You know that she was already a sorceress, you know, and so she come in there, you know, and try to seduce everybody. Well, of course, but I tell you what, whoever got seduced, it's on them. You know, nobody should ever say, well, it wasn't my fault. You know, this was what Adam said. Well, it wasn't my fault. It was the fault of the woman you gave me. The woman said, well, it wasn't my fault. It was the fault of this happened. God didn't care, you know, by any of those things. It is your fault. If you get seduced, if you get, you know, cajoled into doing something that's against the word of the Lord, it's on you. Because the Bible says we shall all of us shall give account of ourselves. So you can't say, well, it was my leaders that did that. Jesus said, no. You know, if you be blind and you let your blind leader lead you, both of you will fall into a ditch. But you don't have to be blind. Open your eyes wide. Let the leader be blind. But you don't have to be blind. And you will not fall into a ditch with them. And this is what I say unto one, I say unto all. Your leaders may be blind, but don't be blind with them. Open your eyes wide. Stay with this word. And if there's any spirit that's coming in there, bringing in, well, okay, what is fornication? What is adultery? Well, there's real physical fornication. It's happening in, what's happening in Thyatira, happening in the church since today. But there is also spiritual fornication where people take, you know, all it is you take a little bit of, you know, what you God gave you. Take a little bit of something else the devil gives you. You mix it all up in there. The next thing you know, your heart is going after that, you know, untruth even more. That's already spiritual fornication, you know. And the Lord said, look, keep yourself pure. So this woman, she was there, and there's a lot, you know, people have spoken, many people speak about, oh, the spirit of Jezebel is this and that. You know, what I'm saying to you today is this. Wherever that spirit of Jezebel is, these are the things that Jesus was calling out. He said, look, you guys are allowing this thing, you know, and I hate it, you know, and because you're allowing it, you know, I am going to hold it against you. Now, I'm praising you for your works, for your service, for your labor, for your faith, for your patience, and again, for your works. You know, and you've done great. And your works today are even better than the previous one. You've not lost your first love. But you're allowing this woman, this spirit come in here, you know, and take over everything, cause your heart to go away from the Lord, seduce my servants to commit fornication. Well, if you get seduced, it's on you, you know, and so on and so forth. Well, he said, look, I gave her space to repent. Now, God always gives space to repent. But do people always repent? Of course not. People will not repent. You know, there are some that are called children of disobedience. They will not repent. No matter how long the Lord's calling it out, they will not repent. And the Lord said, well, I gave her space to repent, but she did not repent. Now, here's what I'm going to do because she did not repent. But the rest of you, you better repent and stay away and not be defiled. Do not let your garments be defiled, saith the Lord. There's a lot of doctrines in the churches and many groups today. They take the word of God and they slice it up and dice it up and so forth, feed it back to the people with some poison in it. And they call it the word. They say, well, it doesn't matter. You know, I have seen things. Look, let me tell you things. Everything in this word of God will judge us at the end. You know, some people say, you know, we've talked about all these things about how they've tried to slice God up into three. Well, there's other things people slice up. There's many groups and many peoples and so forth. And when you talk to them, they will not listen. You know, they say, oh, you know, we're going to do even this thing called Holy Sacrament. I don't even know where they get it from. You know, I don't know. I don't know where people, let me debunk some other truths here. I mean, mistruths here right now. I don't know where people get this sacrament thing, wafers from, when they say they want to do the breaking of bread. What does that mean? You know, they get this thing that look like fleece or something. I don't even know what it is. And they said, you know, you go to break bread with that. What does that mean? You're not breaking anything. You know, breaking bread means you are breaking bread. That's exactly what it means. And even culturally, they had bread with their meals, unleavened bread, that is, you know, and they would break the bread. That's right. You can't take a piece of cracker and call it breaking of bread. That's nonsense. They brought all these things into the churches and the groups and everything like that, you know, and it's amazing. I went to one place one day, you know, they were doing something and I was invited, so I went there. And they were passing out this, you know, thing. I said, well, I'm not gonna have part of that. You know. And I was even one time I was in a place that I was supposed to be part of the service, and somebody came and tried to do this nonsense. And of course I had to talk to them afterwards. You don't do this. You know. Who gave you permission to do this? Well, there was a spirit that came in then, tried to take over the place. You know, the Jezebel spirit is not only in women, folks. It's in men, too. Just try to take over the place. You know, turn things upside down. I mean, can you imagine if you are, I bring you as a guest into my house. I mean, you are a guest in my house. And then you come in, you try to rearrange all my furniture. You know, rearrange, you know, you don't like the way my living room is. Move all the furniture from the living room into the kitchen. You know, move the stove into the bathroom. Just Turn everything up. You are a guest in the house. You know, and I've been a recipient of that, you know, where you bring in a guest, you know, and they try to turn everything upside down. Well, that's a Jezebel spirit. It's not only in women. It can be in anybody. And anytime they got this mixed up thing in there, be careful now. You know, it's mixed up. Now, if you are part of anything where people are saying we are, you know, we are breaking bread and they're using these wafers and things like that, don't even look like anything. You know, we're commanded to use unleavened bread when you do that. And it's one bread. That's what the Bible says. We are all one bread. Now, if your group is too large to be one bread, then you break it up into smaller groups. That's why in the early church, they did it from house to house. They don't have to do it inside the church and have 500 people trying to break one bread. How's that going to happen? It's impossible, you know. But it is got to be one bread, ladies and gentlemen. So you go into one, go into smaller groups, you know, smaller groups, and you do it right. And I was one time, you know, one time I was in college years ago, and, you know, somebody was trying to do this thing, and I stood up against it, you know, and they said, oh, it doesn't matter. We can even... True story, ladies and gentlemen, this was in Nigeria. And this man who was supposed to be the leader of the fellowship said, it doesn't matter. We can even use yam. He said that. And I left that place. I said, ikabod. Because this is one of the most sacred things that we do. As often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. You do it in remembrance of me. And Paul said, look, you know how that Jesus, on the night that he died, he took bread and break it. Didn't take pieces of crackers. He took bread and break it and gave it to his disciples and said, this, hallelujah, it's my body, which is broken for you. There is something about that breaking of it that, you know, he does. You know, so they bring all of these things, but, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, I can get really carried away when I get on this subject, but I'm going to lay it out here today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, Paul was writing about some things that he wrote here. And he said, look, the cup of blessing which we bless, in verse 16, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? It should be in a cup. Sometimes it's not in a cup, you know. And the bread which we break, you have to break that bread. Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread. That's right. And one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. There's a lot of significance to this one bread that he's saying here. So when you do the breaking of bread, you got to do it with one bread. And it's got to be unleavened bread, you know. Purge ye therefore out the old leaven, 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. Because, you know, he said, look, get rid of it. Because you are all one. I mean, you are a clean lump, you know. So purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, you don't do the Passover with leavened bread, folks. Passover is sacrificed for us. And let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. That's right. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread. Not only is this a spiritual illustration of sincerity and truth, but also physically, if you're going to do it at all, better be unleavened bread. You know, never mix leaven in any things of God. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And, you know, you mix it up in there. Jesus hates that thing. And this woman, she comes in there, she mix it up, mix all of these things up and serve it to the people. And that doesn't work, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to do the breaking of bread, do it right. Get into a smaller, you can do it even in your family. It doesn't have to be in the church when there's 300 people. You can do it. They did it from house to house in the early church. They, you know, following the apostles' doctrine, you know, went from house to house, broke bread from house to house in singleness of heart. They ate their bread. And in any case, it was part of their culture to break bread during their meal. You know, it wasn't even such a religious thing, but Jesus was doing the same thing at the Last Supper. They had bread. They always had bread, you know, and it was unleavened bread because Jesus wouldn't touch any of that leaven. But he used it to bring out a point. And he said, well, do this in remembrance of me. So when we do it, and if you're doing it and just mix it up in there anyhow, you're already desecrating this very holy thing that Jesus said, this is my body that's broken for you. Now, that's a warning to some people here today, you know, come out from among that stuff and be not partakers of that, because I'm going to bring that, I'm going to clean house. But, you know, after a while, you know, according to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, you know, after a long time, you know, Jesus said, look, I gave her space to repent. She did not repent. Well, what does this scripture also say? He said, well, I've given them space to repent, but they don't repent. You know, that's what he says in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that is being often reproved and hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So God's been rebuking, reproving, and so forth. And why are we doing this now? Why are we calling these things out? You know, because we're in the preparation series. God loves everybody. God loves those people too. But he gives us a warning. Clean house. Clean up your ways. Amend your ways. Stay away from that stuff. And get rid of that Jezebel spirit. And if you can't get rid of it, get away from it. You know, and he said, look, I've given her space to repent. She didn't. So I'm going to cast her into a bed of affliction. And when I do, you know, I'm going to even kill her. Children with death. Children, what is a child? A child is an offspring. That's really what a children is. You know, so it's like the great whore, Babylon the Great. You know, she's the mother of harlots. She has a lot of children just like her. You know, so child is somebody that is an offspring. So all of the, you know, people who are going in that way, becoming an offspring of the same thing, say, I'll kill them with death if they don't repent. You know, now he has his eyes like a flame and he's not messing around right now. And he calls it out. But after all of that rebuke, he drops down. And this is the beauty of these messages, you know, to the churches. He'll call it out, but then he'll drop down and then he'll give them hope. He said, look, you know, I know all of those things that you're facing, but you need to get away from that. But if you don't, here's what's going to happen. But unto you, I say, now we're back to Revelation 2:24 now. Unto you, I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not known this doctrine. You know, remember I said, I'm the one that searches the reins of the hearts. You know, the Holy Spirit just said, go back. You didn't finish reading that. So let me read it. Revelation 2 verse 23. And I will kill her children with death, and all their churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, nothing, he will miss nothing. He's got the eyes of fire. He will not think, nothing. You can't sleep anything by him. He knows it all. And he said, I'm going to give every one of you according to your works. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine of the spirit of Jezebel, mixed up things, you know, and have not known the depths of Satan. These things are the depths of Satan. But even as they speak, now, there are even ministers today, we've heard it, even, you know, you've heard it too. Yeah, they'll go to, you know, to the depths of Satan, just trying to get some power. Whereas the power of the Holy Ghost is present, you know, they put charms, you know, it happens in Africa a lot, you know, and they put charms, they go in, they want to, I don't know what they are looking for. They sell out their devil, their soul to the devil. Bible say, look, some of them have known the depths of Satan even as they speak, you know. And those people will come later on and say to Lord, we did mighty works, we did this, we did that. What do you think Jesus is going to say? I never knew you. Never. That's right. Now, so Jesus said, look, as many of you have not known the depths of Satan, you have not put your hand into this iniquity and these doctrines, I'm going to put upon you none other burden, you know, but, you know, because you've been holding fast, you've been walking, you've been patient, you've been laboring, you've been in service, you had your faith and so forth. You know, but what you already have, hold fast till I come. Now, hold fast till I come. Now, and here is the blessing that always comes. And he that overcometh, if you are able to hold fast, separate yourself from all that stuff, come out from among all of that, and hold my work and keep my works to the end. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Woo-hoo. Now, you say, these people that are in the midst of all of this, and yet they can have power over the nations. Well, absolutely. If you overcome, separate yourself from that. You know, as long as you separate yourself and you come out and you are clean, you know, Jesus doesn't hold that against you anymore. But he will if you don't separate yourself. But once you separate yourself, you know, then you have the, you know, the privilege of entering into the blessings of the overcomer. And for these people, he said, look, I'm going to give you power over the nations. And you will rule them with a rod of iron. Remember, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 5. The man-child will rule the nations with a rod of iron. And Jesus said, if you're able to separate yourself and keep yourself clean from all of these things, you'll be part of that company that will rule the nations with a rod of iron. And as the vessels of a potter, you break them in pieces. That's right. Even as I received of my Father. And moreover, you know, this is one of the places where he gives the most promises. You know, he promised so many things. Moreover, you know, I will give you the morning star. Woo-hoo. Some people call Venus the morning star. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Because it's always out there shining even in the morning. Well, who knows what that means. But whatever it means, I will give it to you. Hallelujah. Well, only though if you overcome, you know, you have power over the nations, you rule over the nations. My goodness. I also give you a morning star. Now, let him have an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, if you think that if you don't know what this universe is all entail and all the things that are out there, well, do a little research in science. They'll tell you, you know, galaxy, the, you know, Milky Way and all of these things. Well, Jesus said, I'll give you the morning star. Who knows what he would do, you know, and he himself is called the bright and morning star, you know, so that's another way of looking at it. I will give you of myself. He's called the bright and morning star, but also, you know, it could be anything else in the galaxies that he will give you. And who knows what he would do. But whatever it is, you know, these exhortations are to drive us to want to be overcomers so we can get these blessings. Well, that's our lesson today. We dealt with the, you know, I was looking at the time the whole time I was speaking and trying to say, well, let me not go too far because of time. There's a lot more to those, to that spirit of Jezebel, you know, and, but, no matter how wicked anyone is, if they can fall on their face before the Lord and ask for God's mercy, mercy, the cry for mercy is something that God can never turn his ears against. If you call out for mercy, he will reach out because he said, I'm merciful and gracious, forgiving transgression and iniquity. But the problem is people don't ask for forgiveness. You know, they don't. I mean, look at Ahab. In 1 Kings 21 that we read briefly, after Elijah prophesied all kinds of horrible things against him, you know, And I said, look, I'm going to cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall. That means all the men. I'm going to cut them off. You will not have a man to sit on your throne. I mean, I'm going to do all these things. You know, your wife, you know, Jezebel and all of this. I'm going to bring evil against you. You know, I mean, after God prophesied all these things against him, the Bible says that this man, wow, he walked softly before God. Now, he was the most wicked of all time. There was nobody like him. And they said, look, Jezebel, yeah, the dogs will eat her by the wall of Jezreel and on and so forth. And he just said all kinds of things against him. And when Ahab heard his words, he rent his clothes. Verse 27 of 1 Kings 21. And he put sackcloth upon his flesh. And he fasted and went softly. And this was the most wicked king, you know. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, by saying, wow, see how this wicked Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he humbled himself before me, I will, you know, spare him some evil. I'm not going to bring this evil. I will bring this evil, but not in his days. I'm going to prolong it, push it down the road, kick the can down the road a little bit, you know, but. You know, in his son's days will I bring this evil. And look at how the mercy of the Lord, you know, so no matter what, you know, unclean thing we put our hand in religious systems, you can still come out of there and God can still set you on the path to glory. Hallelujah. You know, only though if we repent, but if she does not repent or if the people that do not repent and evil is coming, and it's going to start at my sanctuary, an unclean house. Now, I pray that every one of us will take this as warnings, you know, for us to not put our hand into iniquity. Don't let the influence of all these spirits be upon you. Stay with the word of God. If you don't understand anything, go to God and ask. You know, don't just do things just because somebody says, yeah, that's the way it is. Yeah, some things may be desecrating the name of the Lord. Some things may be bringing, you know, despite to the name of the Lord. You know, and God may be angry, you know, and when he's angry like that, you know, he resists even our prayers. And that's not the place where we want to be. But we want to be where we've got clean hands, a pure heart. Our hearts are tender to receive the word of the Lord. We're aligning ourselves with his ways. That's what God is looking for at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You know, I never really write down what I'm going to say when I'm teaching these lessons on these messages to the churches. I just let the Holy Spirit speak. I read it and let the Holy Spirit speak. You know, and what I say unto one, I say unto all. Now, I'm going to pray over the room. I'm going to yield my mic for discussions. Now, some of these may seem like Jesus is speaking out of the eyes of fire and a sword in his mouth. Of course he is. But remember, you know, to him that overcometh, as great things as promised. So never let any rebuke discourage you, because the Bible says the word of God is profitable, you know, not only for instruction in righteousness, but also for correction and for rebuke and for exhortation and instruction. So the word of God is profitable for all those things. And you can read that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You know, sometimes we teach a lot of doctrine on this platform, you know, like the doctrine of the Godhead, you know, and so on, the doctrine of Jesus and all kinds of things. But it's also for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, so that you, man of God, or woman, or every one of us may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And Paul charged Timothy and said, look, give yourself attention wholly to all these things and do nothing by partiality. Don't say, I'm going to take only doctrine. I'm not going to take reproof, or I'm not going to take correction, or I'm not going to take this. Take it all. And the Lord will bless you. And may the Lord put his gentle hand on your head and your back, comforting you and guiding you and leading you even in the days ahead. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, all the praise and glory. Quicken our spirits, Lord, to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And help us, Revelation 18 and 4. Come out from among her, my people, and partake not of her judgments. Get away from the spirit of Jezebel, because judgment is coming. And get away from all these systems that are polluted, for the Lord is bringing, the angels that have the destroying weapons that come in, and it's going to start at my sanctuary, the Lord said. Well, does that mean that we should flee our house of worship and go into the wilderness? Of course not. The Lord said, I have yet in this place, he told Elijah, because Elijah thought, well, I'm the only one, there's nobody like me. I'm the only one, only me is left. Lord said, no, I've got 7,000 knees that I've not bowed to Baal. So ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, even though we don't speak, we know that there is a remnant of people that love the Lord and they are good. They are in good standing with God. God always has his people. It may not look like that initially, but he always has his people. And you are not alone. Don't be like Elijah and think, well, I'm the only one. Me and only me are left, left. And they've slain all of this and that. God said, no, you're not the only one that's left. You are not the only one that's left. And you're not the only one that knows what God is doing. He has people everywhere. They may not be in your fellowship, but he's got people everywhere. The disciples said, well, we saw some people casting out devils and they're not in our fellowship. And we tried to forbid them. Jesus said, no, it may not be in your fellowship, but I've got people everywhere. So Father, I thank you. I give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.